Good afternoon and welcome to Gila Members Community Radio and KURU, Silver City, New Mexico, 89.1 FM. It's a Friday afternoon, and it's Friday the 19th, and this coming week there are going to be some, this is Black History Month, and there will be events up at WNMU, and I have a couple of WNMU students here that are going to be involved in one of these in particular, which is the part of Black History Month and an examination of the Black Lives Matter movement. And so we're going to talk a little bit about there. I'm here with Nelson Williams and Mary Lynn Grijalva. And welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So how did you get here to WNMU, to Silver City? You know, just briefly kind of how your path wound this way.
Well, out of high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I know I wanted to do something within the field of psychology and sociology. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to a JC because I didn't feel like it was worth either mine or my parents' money to go to a four-year when I didn't exactly know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went to go find myself. During the time, you know, I had a good experience. And my cousin, who is known as Mr. A or Nazir, he used to recruit for Western New Mexico University for the San Bernardino area. Mm-hmm. And me being from L.A., he was like, yeah, you should just go and check it out. So one October... October 2012, I just came over here on the trip, and I just liked the scenery, and I liked the fact that they had a Black VP of Student Affairs, so I was like, I think I could do it. I think I might be able to go to the middle of nowhere to go to school.
Right.
And it was just like a good transition coming from inner city, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a lot quiet, it's less distraction, and it's just a lot easier to focus on school sometimes. Sometimes. But yeah.
All right. Good. And you, Mary Lynn?
Well, I went to community college in Douglas, Arizona, and I was debating to what a four-year institution to transfer to when I met David Cota. And he told me about Western, and he said that I should consider it. And then when I spoke to my supervisor at my college, she was also a WNMU graduate. Mm-hmm. So I had two people telling me I should check it out. So I came for a trip, and I just really liked how everyone in the community was really nice, and the campus was not too big, not too small, and I'm not far away from home, but I'm just far enough, and tuition isn't too bad, so I just felt like it was the right move for me to make, especially since I'm trying to pursue a doctorate.
All right. And so we've heard a little bit about, you know, how you arrived here. How long have you been here now enrolled?
I got here spring 2013.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going on my third year.
This is my third semester, so I've been here for about a year and a half.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of wondering, you know, how long you had been here and kind of, obviously you're still here, so you're enjoying at least that much.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the campus environment here? What do you?
To be honest, I have mixed feelings because I started off being very, very involved on campus. As far as the first thing I did was technically like RA, OL, like orientation leader, resident assistant, and just like trying to connect with the students as much as possible as far as programming is concerned. And the weird thing about Western is that students want programs, but students don't necessarily go to programs. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of hard because you're trying to make programs for students when you don't necessarily know what the students want because you're not really getting feedback. So it kind of took me to step outside. And it was kind of interesting, too, because the people who want you to program are giving you ideas that are like ideas that don't work. You know what I'm saying? There's like really no thinking outside of the box. And it actually took me to step outside of that. And it wasn't until really that I really worked at the center where like you start getting programs that are outside the box and connect to students on a different level. Like, it's not all about partying, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could throw a party all you want, doesn't mean everybody's going to show up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was just really interesting to me just to kind of step out of that role mm-hmm. as like a traditional like programmer mm-hmm. and kind of step into a new role and like seeing how students respond. Now, even for us, it's hard to get people to come to events all the time. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like a culture of Western where like uh-huh. students don't come to events. Uh-huh. it's frustrating. It's so frustrating. But we're definitely trying to change it, not only at the center, but student life as uh-huh. a whole.
Uh-huh. I completely mirror your feelings towards the campus. I also have really mixed feelings because my community college, all of their events were always packed, anything that they always had. And they had really cool things. I know in the spring they had like a spring kind of fair thing, and they brought like sumo wrestling, like you'd get into this suit. They had water, like games and dunking, and it was always very active. So I come here, and if you go to an event, it may or may not happen because of student attendance. And then the outdoor program, which I think is really cool. Some of their events are also shut down because students don't sign up.
And sometimes students don't know about the events. Actually, shout out to the outdoors program and shout out to C-Rec because some of the events that y'all put on are amazing. So shout out to y'all. Yeah, shout out to the center. Some of the events that we put on are amazing.
Yeah, Kathy Whiteman was just on Earth Matters the other day talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
And also about the symposium that's coming.
Yeah, she's awesome. Mm-hmm. She's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I was asking that because I was kind of wanted to get your general impression. And I think that you went to the things that were, obviously that you were concerned about or observing is kind of the level of, well, we're talking about level of attendance or participation. I was going to ask about the level of activism. Mm-hmm. But, sometimes those would be coincident and maybe at other times not so much. What's your sense in terms of the population of who is enrolled as far as locals compared to people who come from, other locations?
Oh, okay. This is actually kind of a complicated question because as far as enrolled students here at Western, mm-hmm. There's a very high non-traditional, there's a high frequency of non-traditional students.
Uh-huh. And non-traditional meaning?
Non-traditional meaning you're not coming straight out of high school, ages uh-huh. 18 through 25.
Right, okay. Yeah, that was kind of my impression, but I just wanted to kind of see what your feeling about it.
So, I mean, you have people who are coming back to school. Some students have kids. Like, it's just very mm-hmm. non-traditional in an uh-huh. aspect. So when you're trying to reach the kids who are on campus as far as, like, res halls, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Those mm-hmm. are the more traditional students that right. live in the res halls. It's kind of weird, but when it works out, it's kind of fulfilling. Uh-huh. As far as the activism piece goes, I don't really see many or much activism on campus mm-hmm. at all. Outside of like the information that the center gives, outside some of the events that people put on individually, uh-huh. as far as coming from the school itself, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily see it as being too affluent in the community. I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but like that's just how I feel.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I completely agree with the level of activism with our school. I feel like our students agree that there are issues out there and these issues are important. But then a lot of the students that go to Western are going to say school's first. And that's right. School's always first. So mm-hmm. if they don't see that an issue is directly affecting them and uh-huh. directly affecting their path from where they are now to getting their degree, then they're not going to be very motivated to take that first step. And mm-hmm. being an activist, you're going to face uh-huh. some troubling times.
Definitely.
So. All right. Well, there is an opportunity for people who are maybe have some inclination or curiosity or interest in activism, and that is that this is Black History Month, and there is the event of the Black Lives Matter event that's coming up on Tuesday. That's Tuesday, 23rd, 6:30, Light Hall.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Just to speak a little bit about that. That's just really kind of the end where mm-hmm. we break the silence. Like, it's going to be a big event. Like, we want it to be a big event. I want you guys to come out to support.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
So it's there are things going on all day. That's the yes, evening event is
it's,
at 6:30.
It's definitely a day of solidarity where all day we encourage people to wear black. Uh-huh. Where while students are in classes, while black students are in classes, we want them to show solidarity by wearing tape over their mouth that says hashtag Black Lives Matter. Uh-huh. Like, we want people to see our silence. Uh-huh. So that's kind of like our silent protest throughout the day. And
does that mean that you won't be speaking in class? That you will simply be there, you will be present?
We'll be present, yes.
But we'll not speak, even with regard to the normal curriculum and lessons and so forth.
Exactly. Uh-huh. I told my teachers ahead of time. We actually sent out an email to faculty just to let them know, like, what's going to be going on. Uh-huh. My teacher was like, yeah, it's fine. The funny thing is about that is I actually have a debate that we're doing in class. Uh-huh. And I'm usually the one who talks. So I'm like writing all the information down and just passing it to other people. So that's going to be my job on Tuesday. Uh-huh. So, yeah. But yeah, from 9 to 11, if you're a student at Western New Mexico and you're hearing this, you can come and receive a t-shirt and information and information about what we're doing during the day at the PE complex, outside of the PE complex and outside of Martinez Hall.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you're interested, you can always go to those two places from 9 to 11 just to get information and possibly get a Black Lives Matter t-shirt.
Yeah, sounds cool. So then that'll say kind of the things that are happening during the day.
Yeah.
The other things.
Yeah.
And are those things primarily focused on students themselves, or are they is the open to people... You know, that want to, that are not students?
Yeah, if the community wants to get involved, more than welcome.
All right.
Yeah, we're welcoming everybody.
All right, that sounds great. So that's Tuesday the 23rd.
Yes, sir.
All right. So what, obviously it's Black History Month, so we know, you know, that's not a surprise. But how did this particular event or this concept for this day come together?
At one of our meetings at work, we spoke how there isn't really a university around here that has addressed or has done any events supporting Black Lives Matter. So,
and when you say around here,
we mean like, what do we think? New Mexico State University.
Yeah, like NMSU,
Highlands.
UNM. I know. I think it was UNM. I think that did a protest after I think the Mike Brown Ferguson incident. So shout out to you guys for that. That's amazing. But as far as, you know what I'm saying, really focusing on Black issues and the issues that Black people face, even at, you know, I don't feel like the Black student unions are strong enough, you know what I'm saying, at the universities. And that's for here, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this, and I go to school, and I haven't started one. I've been thinking about it, but I haven't done it.
When
so.
I first got here, I drove up college there, and I saw that, you know, big old building, and it said BSU. I said, right on. I didn't realize it was the Baptist Student Union.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, like, we just – I think hopefully this is – try to start it off. I've been trying to get in contact with NMSU and UNM. So if you guys are listening, you know what I'm saying, hit me up. But yeah, like, I feel like this should definitely be something that should be sent to multiple universities.
Do you want to give some contact information so those folks, if they should find their way to this program, would know how to reach you?
Oh, yeah. You can find me. Actually, email me. That'd be the easiest one. Uh-huh. It's williamsn4@wnmu.edu.
Okay. So that's Tuesday. Hey, folks, Tuesday the 23rd. So if this pikes your curiosity, then you should make it on over to WNMU. You said, when does the information start? At 9?
9 a.m.
Yeah, 9 to 11. And the two locations were the PE complex and...
Martinez.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So if you appear there... Then you'll have a shot at getting a T-shirt and
If you're a student,
qualify that and involve yourself in this thing and find out what's happening. Yeah, this is quite different. I mean, this is the first such event that I'm aware of that we've had here that seems to be of this kind of scale and level of awareness. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. This is Gila Members Community Radio, KURU. I'm your host, questioner, and all of that, Kyle Johnson. Yeah, we'll be right back. Welcome back, or you can welcome us back if that works better for you, here on Hela Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM on the dial. And I'm here with Nelson Williams and Mary Lynn Grijalva, students at WNMU. Both of them arrived here from other places and are now both engaged in this event for Black History Month, which is going to be Black Lives Matter, which will be a series of events on campus during the day and then an evening event at Light Hall. That's Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, the 23rd, 2016. At Light Hall, so you can go there early in the day and check out some of the events that are going on during the day, and then at whatever point you need to come or go, do that, but it should be very interesting. So the Black History Month has now been, I guess, initiated and celebrated and happening for some decades, I guess, since back in the 70s, probably. I'm trying to really remember when I first became aware of it. I'm sure that there was a time when I actually wasn't too aware of it, or it wasn't as prominent. But it's good to see that it's happening not only across the country, but, of course, here in Silver City as well. The Black Lives Matter movement, obviously, came into being in the last few years due to the serial incidents of police violence in cities across the country. Of course, it had been going on for a very long time before that. In fact, there was never a time when it was not going on. But now that the movement has formed and has grown in strength and people's awareness, what do you think will be the next challenge with this? Where do you see it going? It's kind of gone from, you know, incidents that were primarily associated with police violence in various places, Baltimore, St. Louis, Chicago, New York, you know, all over the place. But it's also assumed a very prominent place, actually, in this year's elections. What's your impressions about how they've made their presence known here in this election season?
I personally think that it's awesome just to get the visibility out there of, like, Black voices, and not just Black men voices, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, Black male voices, but Black women voices as well. Yes. Because I feel like that they've been silenced more than anybody else has.
Yeah. The Say Her Name is...
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. The Say Her Name, you know what I'm saying?
For those that don't know, there have been, you know, there's not only violence against young Black men, but there's violence against, increasing violence and alarming violence against young Black women as well, or Black women in general. And the sense, or the drive, the purpose of Say Her Name is to acknowledge that these things have occurred and say her name, the individual, so that it's actually personalized, you know, not diffused in some, you know, loss of identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually perfectly said. I don't even know how to build off of that. that was well said.
But then in the political season?
To be honest, this political season kind of turned me off in a sense, as far as the things being said. Like, it's really hard for me to focus on what people who are supposed to be leading our country are saying about the people who live in the country. And that's not just Black people. That's Hispanics as well. And it's frustrating because people think like that. Uh-huh. And I know people think like that. Uh-huh. I've met people who think that, you know, some forms of life are, you know what I'm saying, or some lives are valued more than others. Mm-hmm. So when you have people who lead the country that think like that, then that trickles down to the institutions, you know, because if they're in power and they control, you know, the institutions and they make the laws, then of course the laws are going to be biased as well. I don't know if you wanted to add to that, Marilyn, or...
No, I mean, you said it perfect. I just feel like it's great that we see this movement coming up in campaigns, and these ideologies will have a lasting effect if our leader views people differently just because of ethnicity or what have you. But I also feel like they're aware that minorities, yes, they are oppressed as individuals, but I feel like when they come together, they can really change the country. So if someone gets their vote, then it's going to make a big difference.
Yeah. What I've been, you know, as I've been following this thing and thinking about it, I'm impressed with the level of involvement, response, activism that's happening across the country in Black communities that are, I think, addressing this head on. I mean, the number of people that look at it as an international issue, right? As, you know, this is a human rights issue. This is identifying with people around the world as well as in your own neighborhood. And I think that that is something that has existed, but certainly has not been discussed or presented in, you know, in most media, so that people are aware of that, which is just a way of maintaining stereotypes of, you know, disorganized, dysfunctional communities. Oh, there's nothing you can do for them. They're, you know, it's their own fault. You know, so I think that this has really energized to see the number of ordinary folks in neighborhoods that are addressing this in a much more proactive level of awareness, and also drawing support from other groups, other people, et cetera, while maintaining, you know, maintaining their control of the movement. And, you know, that they're presenting what they need to present without feeling that it needs to be somehow watered down to be more palatable, mm-hmm. right? So the strength at the core of the thing is, I think, is really impressive, as evidenced by the, you know, particularly the things with Bernie Sanders, which I think, you know, while it was startling at first, I think that the person that was most important to understand what they were saying actually did.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders himself,
yeah.
I think, examined his campaign, his priorities, his range of issues that he needs to address. And I'm seeing it as being something that is becoming a driver somewhat of the Black vote towards Sanders and away from the traditional kind of hidebound choice of the Democrats, you know, the typical or obvious or, you know, apparent choice, you know, with Hillary and that thing. So I think that that's created a real competition here in the primaries.
I definitely agree. To be completely honest, I was skeptical of Bernie Sanders at first because mm-hmm. of how he responded initially mm-hmm. to the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. And just like some of the things that he was saying after that were just like, okay, well, I may see where you're coming from as far as mm-hmm. like, you know, you mentioning the All Lives Matter and how policy affects all people. Like, mm-hmm. I get that. But mm-hmm. then later on when he's starting to say, okay, well, I see why, mm-hmm. you know, you guys are protesting, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Then mm-hmm. I was like, maybe. But in recent debates mm-hmm. That he's had, I really felt like I can stand behind Bernie Sanders. I've been trying to stay away from politics like this whole conversation. But yeah, I feel like he's the best person for the job mm-hmm. as of right now. Mm-hmm. And just to talk about a little bit what you were saying before about local and national issues mm-hmm. And just how people respond to mm-hmm. National issues as far as the Black community is concerned, mm-hmm. I honestly don't think that it's enough, mm-hmm. Especially in my generational gap, you know what I'm uh-huh. saying? Like, don't get me wrong, millennials are doing a lot to push this forward. It was the millennials who started this. Uh-huh. But you have people ages like 23 and younger mm-hmm. who really don't I won't say don't care because mm-hmm. it affects them. So, like, mm-hmm. they feel it and they care because every mm-hmm. time they see it on the news, it impacts them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But in essence, they're disconnected from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And it's kind of frustrating. Like, this could be you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes one mistake. Like, yeah. this could be you.
Yeah. yeah.
And so, like, you have what I call people who are bold on Twitter. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Or people who are bold on social media. So, like... Mm-hmm. they'll do their part on social media, like mm-hmm. saying, oh, that's horrible, and that's all they do.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Or they say, oh, well, this is sad, and that's all they do. Right. And then they step back, and they're like, oh, well, I did my part for activism.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. That's not enough for me. Like, yeah, it's cool that you're acknowledging the issue, mm-hmm. and I'm, like, glad that you're acknowledging the issue, but I want mm-hmm. you to do something with that information.
Yeah, sure.
Like, with that pain that you feel, don't just mm-hmm. post it on social media and say, okay, it's done. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Do something with that information. Mm-hmm. Make it mm-hmm. active. Become active. You know?
So. Become active. All right. Well, I think we're just about getting ready to wrap up. But let just repeat one more time, just briefly, the kind of thing that's happening on Tuesday with the Black Lives Matter.
Tuesday, February 23rd, Black Lives Matter movement, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. That's when we start giving out shirts and information. If you are a student, if you are a community member from 9 to 11, come and get information. We're more than happy to talk to you. At 6:30 p.m. at Light Hall, we will have a Break the Silence event, which I feel is going to be a very powerful event. Come out, support. Enjoy yourself. I hope that, you know, we can impact you in a positive way.
And I hope you all wear black that day.
All right. All right, then. This is Gila Members Community Radio. Thank you very much, both Nelson and Mary Lynn, for joining us and filling us in on what's happening there. Hope to hear more about getting active.
Yeah, get active.
All right, this is Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, here in Silver City, New Mexico. Until the next time, thank you for joining us.